Wouldn't it be nice if you could go through a week of life without anything getting your blood pressure up? Anybody have a completely chill week with nothing that was upsetting to you? Well, even if you're driving these days, you probably recognize that that's not going to happen, right? Life has a way of having some waves, as the picture following the word picture on the screen there, that just causes some problems. And that's life. That's life. Today, I intend to preach the message that I was going to preach 2 weeks ago when the Lord changed my mind and sent me a different direction on peace. It's back to our series on the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that God said if you are controlled by the Spirit of God in your Christian life would be an evidence that you are controlled. Now, the rub with this is if you don't have these things in place in your life, the insinuation from Scripture is the fact that you are not completely being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now that's hard for us because we say, well, I've got this believer thing down. Well, okay, but let's lay your thoughts there alongside of what God says you will look like if you are definitely controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, a minute ago, we just sang, I've got the Holy Ghost inside of me, right? That you have filled me with the Holy Ghost. And part of being filled with the Holy Ghost are the evidences that come out. Let me ask you, in the last 7 days of your life, what are the evidences that have come out of you to those that run the same circle that you do? It might have been at Walmart. It might have been maybe at the stoplight down here. It might have been with a coworker or a neighbor, you know, or whatever it is. What are the evidences that came out of you? By the way, let me just remind you of something. It's been a few months since I've mentioned what we have prepared for you every Sunday as we go through the sermon. Not only what you see visually today, but what you can access as well. There is an app called YouVersion. Many of you use this, and I have encouraged you over time to use YouVersion for your personal Bible reading, if nothing else. But on that YouVersion app as well, you can actually access our sermon and our service today. So you can see what we're doing here. You can follow along. You can add your own notes. You can cross-reference. It's a great tool as we go along, those of you that use electronic devices. Also, we have a church app, and maybe you're not using that. And let me encourage you, if you have not already loaded our First Free Will Baptist app, I encourage you to do so. And the way that you get to that is through an app called Tithely. 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 So if you go onto your app store or Google Play and you go to the apps that you'd like to download and you go to an app called Tithely, Tithely, it will lead you into a bit of information where you can access our app. Okay, it'll ask you enough questions for you to find us. And then once you have it downloaded and it has loaded, it will turn into a red app that says FFW. Reason I'm encouraging you to do so is I know that you use apps on your things every day from to get to Walmart or whatever. Why not make it convenient to you in church as well? Because there's online giving built into our app as well as the sermons from every week where you can follow along. And also so that you can access the podcasts from our sermons digitally anytime during the week. You can go back and look at the archives. Maybe you missed a Sunday and you want to see what was going on. So I encourage you to use that. It's a tremendous benefit for you to be able to follow. And so I encourage you to go back there and use these things. If you have further questions, I would encourage you to ask me about those after the service. I'll help you out. Or Stephen. Matter of fact, he's even created some videos to help us, help you be able to load that. Just catch us after church, and we'll be glad to help you out with those things. I want to begin this morning with considering the most basic question of how we would define this word peace today. What does peace mean to you when I throw that word out? Well, here are some definitions that have been given about this word peace as we're considering the fruit of the Spirit. Here's one from an author named Dean Guptill, and it says this, that brief, glorious moment in history when everyone stands around reloading. Now, that's kind of disconcerting when you look at that, but, you know, honestly, unfortunately, in the day that we live, this may be the truth, when we are just kind of reloading to be able to go off on somebody else. And we hate that, but this is almost a tongue-in-cheek and very real way that we think about peace. It's just that for that moment when nobody's saying anything, and I can just have a moment of peace, right? Well, here's another definition of peace that is from our dear brother Webster. What would we do without Webster, right? The absence of conflict. Now, that's about as basic as it gets. Just simply the absence of conflict. Now, I understand this, but in an attempt to gain peace the way that he describes it, that's why I said what I said coming to the pulpit this morning. Because how many of you in your life today would say, oh, yes, I have a complete absence of conflict in my life? I doubt very seriously there's anybody here today that doesn't have, well, maybe some babies in the nursery. No, the babies in the nursery don't have an absence of conflict either. They get hungry and they got stuff going on with them that brings conflict as well. They don't even have peace today. So this would leave all of us out, right? Okay, so there's a third definition that we will go to, which is more the spiritual side of things. And it's the biblical definition and evidence of the presence of God in your life. That the evidence that the Holy Spirit is within you and that is working in you and through you to produce peace in your life. So this is the biblical definition. Now, the second definition actually comes closer to getting it right for all of us. We know Jesus' description of peace didn't mean merely the absence of an interpersonal conflict, because conflict is a part of life. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace. You ever thought about that? He said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And so he obviously knew that even with what he was bringing to the earth, it was really just going to cause more conflict. So if peace is something we try to attain from the outside, we can pretty much give that up. That's not going to happen. So if you want to be a peaceful person today, how do you approach that? Well, the approach has to be from the inside. If I went across the room today and said, how many of you have to take some type of sleeping aid at night because you feel disrest in your life? We would probably be shocked how many people depend on some type of sleeping aid because you just can't seem to sleep because you're so stirred up about some things. So our approach as believers has to be from the inside. How can we get to a point where I feel like I am a peaceful person? All of us want this. You want it, right? I want it. For crying out loud, I want peace. And I realize that as we look around us, we see this struggle that goes on. As a matter of fact, I like the perspective that Helen Keller had when she said this: I do not want the peace which passes understanding. Catch what she's saying now. I do not want the peace that passes understanding. I want the understanding which produces or brings peace, is what she said. She said, she's not discounting what Scripture said. She's saying, I want to so understand it that I can get a hold of it. I want that in my life. And I think all of us would cry out in the same way. I want peace in my life. Peace is a major theme throughout the Scriptures. It appears more than 80 times, and it occurs at least one time. Catch this, it occurs at least one time in every one of the New Testament books. And we need this peace which comes from God, because at some point in our life, we're going to have to rely on it heavily. And we heard from our dear sister Christine Daniel this morning, and I loved what she said. I prayed that God would give me the strength and the peace to be able to deal with whatever was coming. And I will say of her, God has provided that. But I have a hunch about Miss Daniel that she wasn't asking for something that she didn't already have instilled in her life. The fruit of that spirit had already grown and prepared for her for the moment that was to come. So preparation is on us in this matter of peace. Tragedy comes. The details are going to vary. I don't know what's going to come your way, but the experience of life is not going to change for any of us. You are going to have hard times come. For some, it is going to be the death of a loved one. Might be a child, spouse, parent. For others, it might be a heart attack, might be cancer, might be another life-threatening disease that comes your way. We don't know what's going to be our thing that leads us down dishealth. Sometimes tragedies aren't even personal to you. I mean, we can't, certainly recently, we can't ignore what has happened in El Paso, and we certainly can't ignore these tragedies that happen, these shootings. These things bring this turmoil inside of us, and we have to wonder why and how things can be fixed. And it brings us to the difficult question of whether it's even possible to have peace in the world that we live in. Many people would say it's just not possible. It's only as we examine the perspective of God's Word that we come to an understanding of how that peace is not only possible, okay? Because I will say it is possible, but it should be normal in the person that claims to be a believer because of the Holy Spirit that resides, right? So let's read our text this morning, all right? And the Bible encourages us over in Galatians chapter 5. We'll begin there in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now drop down to verse 22 as we continue our text here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, as you well know, there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And here's the challenge to us out of verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, if you say you live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit wants us to be up here in our lives, a person of peace. So for crying out loud, let's get there. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. Now, I've always made the claim that I like to be realistic. I want to be very simple with you as I preach. And, you know, don't bother me with mystical things. I want to see what they are. Just lay it out there for me real plain-like. And that's how I like things. And that's the points of our message today are exactly this way. Here they are, the source, the shadow, and the secret of peace. So let's break those down. The source of true peace, first of all. To properly understand peace, we need to understand where true peace comes from. And the source is quite unexpected for those who view God as nothing more than a crutch. For those of us who seem to be just, we're simple-minded, right? You know, we're just those people that, we have to have somebody else supporting us. And, well, I get that, and in some way that's very true. Men constantly dream up ways to acquire peace. They'll try things like meditation, yoga, you know, securing your financial portfolio. Sometimes people say, I want to be peaceful, so I'm going to get a divorce. And, you know, that one has always struck me a little wrong. These are all things that we might do with peace as our goal, our attempts, but all of these things are going to fail. Why? And it's because we don't have the right source for peace. Peace is described here as the fruit of the Spirit. All of those things are things on the outside that we try to do to make peace in our lives, but again, with outside circumstances, they're uncontrollable. But from the inside, the source of peace can be had. And peace is described here as the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, peace ultimately comes from God, not us. And the Hebrew concept of shalom, and you've heard the word before, is much more positive than merely the absence of conflict, which I mentioned at the beginning. It's much more positive than that. It speaks of wholeness. It speaks of well-being that includes our relationship with God, loving harmony with others. And you know as well as I do that that is only possible through the Holy Spirit, right? Paul spoke of both peace with God and the peace of God, right? I mean, he spoke of both of these things, which goes beyond human understanding. I don't know how all that can happen, this peace with God through Jesus Christ and the peace of God, which passes understanding, which I really want to have in my life. Romans chapter 5 talks about these things. In fact, in today's world of stress, there's a frequent misunderstanding and pain, and you aren't going to find the peace you need for today apart from God. The only peace you and I will experience when we finally grasp this true peace has to come from God Himself. To put it another way, one writer said this, "In the world we live, if peace depended on us, there would be no peace." Wouldn't you say that about yourself? Hey, if you got to look to me for peace, pal, you better move on. But we'll turn around and hope that somebody else can help us with peace, right? Doctor, you got to help me. You know, neighbor, you got to help me. Mom, you got to help me. We go to others for peace, hoping, and they might try to give us their solutions, but it's all going to circle back around, and we realize, uh-oh, if peace depends on me or anybody else, there will be no peace. If it's not clear enough in Galatians chapter 5 that the peace we long for comes from God, it's even more clear in the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. Read along with me, either on the screen or in your Bibles. Look at what he said. "Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." You catch that? And we still do it. We still reach outward for peace. "Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled." Wow. We do that, don't we? We allow our hearts to be troubled, for sure. And then he says, "Neither let them be afraid," because when we let the troubling come, then it turns into fear. Jesus described the peace he was talking. Let me give you some points about this point, this first point, the source of peace. And Jesus described, first of all, this peace that he was talking about as my peace, my peace. Can you guess the time and the setting where Jesus made this statement? Now, if you were here a few weeks ago when we talked about joy, you might remember that he spoke of the first three fruits of the Spirit all on the night before his death, okay? He experienced this peace that he was talking about and described this peace on the night before he would die, and he knew he was going to die. Do you think you could speak of peace and have it if that were us? If we knew tomorrow was it? That's pretty amazing. And in other words, the peace he wanted all around him to have was the same peace that he was depending on to get him through the next day. That's a perfect example. When he said, "My peace," folks, that was pretty good peace that he was experiencing. So he says, "My peace, I leave with you." Jesus described it as my peace. Here's a second thing. He wants to give that peace to you. Now you say he was God, but he was man. And he was experiencing the same influx of emotions that you would experience, even more so heightened because he was about to be crucified. And he said, "This peace is going to get me through this, and I want to leave this peace to you." So this very peace that Jesus had is attainable in your life. That amazes me, but I'm so thankful. Here's a third thing, second thing, I'm getting ahead of myself, I want us to look at is the shadow of true peace. The shadow of true peace. Not just the source of peace, but the shadow of true peace. Now, you know what a shadow is, right? It's an outline of something that is blocking a light source. But it's only present when that something is in place. It can't happen without the something being in place. They are intrinsically linked. Now, I know that was heavy. Hang with me, okay? In my first illustration here, I want you to see that peace has a shadow. It's always there. And it's called righteousness, according to the Bible. Peace and righteousness are connected in the Scripture over and over again. Now, we don't often think about these two things together because at surface value, they don't seem to be connected. But upon closer examination, there is. Now, listen to these verses from the Scripture beginning in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 17. "I will make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness." Okay, and we'll give these just in bullet form, okay? Psalm 85:10, "Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. righteousness and peace kiss each other. It's a beautiful picture and very deep in its thought. Isaiah 48, 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. So you're seeing the reverse side of the coin here, okay? You're seeing that the unrighteousness will lead you to non-peace in your life, to turmoil. The other side is righteousness and peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. All right? For those who have been trained by it. James chapter 3, verse 8. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, that's just a few of the verses contained in Scripture. Here's what I want us to understand about this point. Many of us want to look like Christians on the outside. And to be quite honest with you, many people just struggle about that because they're going at it the wrong way. And you might be able to do that for a little while. You might be able to put on a good face. You might be able to, in some ways, pretend what you think a Christian is to be like. But let me just say to you today, you will quickly burn out trying to maintain things if you're not right on the inside. And if this matter of peace is not taken care of through the Holy Spirit, brother, that is a losing game. Your righteousness, you see, will be a natural outflow of the fruits of the Spirit in your life that are already in place. You will struggle with righteousness, but hear me about this, and you know this to be true. Righteousness is not something that you naturally do, right? I mean, you can live your whole life and say, man, I still struggle to do what's right. As a believer, I think we would all say that. I still struggle with some things. I just ain't got it right, you know? I talked to somebody the other day about their soul, and here's what they said. Well, I'm not 100% with God. And I said to them, brother, me either. I'm not either. You know, you're never going to get 100% with God because righteousness is not something that's natural to human beings, and we struggle for this righteousness. And the only way we can have righteousness produced in our lives is through the Holy Spirit. And specifically today, I want you to see that righteousness is an outflow of peace, one of the fruits of the Spirit, okay? God's peace in you will overflow into righteousness in your life. That leads me actually to the third point of the message today, and that's about the sovereignty of peace, the sovereignty of peace. Now, in the last point, we focused on the fact that our external behavior has an impact on our peace and vice versa, but the reverse is also true. We will never experience outer peace until we have inner peace. There will never be peace in the world until there is peace in the hearts of the human beings. True peace starts on the inside, and it's foundational to what is going to happen on the outside. The Apostle James, as a matter of fact, he commented on this very thing in James chapter 4. Let me read you these verses. What causes quarrels? And what causes fights among you? It is not this, that your passions are at war within you. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. And what he's saying here is that you fight for peace, thinking you can just do these things that your flesh is telling you to do to hopefully produce some type of peace in your life. The war that goes on inside of us is only going to subside. Listen, I don't want to give you any bad news today, but the war that goes on inside of your heart today is only going to completely go away when you leave this world, right? If you are a believer, that is. So we better learn to let God rule us from the inside because the wars are going to keep happening. If you don't have peace inside, you will not experience peace on the outside either. Peace on the inside comes from peace with God and from knowing that He's in control. When we have that kind of peace, we are much more likely to be able to relate peacefully to those around us. And that's kind of the point that I'm trying to make here. God wants us to reach a point of peace in our own lives so that we can in turn be the peaceful people to others, and they will be drawn to this peaceful Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, sometimes we give the wrong appearance to other people, and we are the very ones that turn others away from the church and away from Jesus Christ. Because why would they want to waste a couple hours on Sunday morning of their life if a person that comes to church is not peaceful that they know? Why would they want that? If they are not a person of joy, why would I want that? If they are not a person of love, why would I want that? And I say to us as we look at those first three fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, are we showing those around us these first fruits by the way that it's being produced through the Holy Spirit to these people? If God has established peace in reconciling us back to Jesus and to each other in Christ, then we've got to do all we can to live out a life of peace. And Paul really summarized things, the challenge of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount when he wrote this in Romans chapter 12. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I've begun praying this prayer in my life. God, just let these things start with me. A lot of times I look around and say, man, I wish that person over there would get a grip, right? I wish they would deal with some things. When I think the admonition of Scripture is to say, okay, God, how about I'm the one who takes that as a challenge? How about make me the person who starts with peace and reaches out? God, make me the person that is loving to others. God, make me a joyful person and instill that joy back to my soul. Here's the thing. God wants you to be at peace with yourself. And many times that's where we end at the end of the day. We may have had even a good day at work. We may have had a good day with those around us. But here's what I know you're looking for today. You are looking for that time in your life when you can lay your head on that pillow at night when nobody else is around and it's become completely quiet and it's just you. At that moment in life, I know you want peace with yourself. And God says today, well, then let's do it the right way. Let's start with the Holy Spirit inside of you. And I would ask you today, what is hindering you from that peace in your life? What is hindering you? I want to do something just a little different as we bring this to a close today. You may have heard this hymn story before. I want to just bring it back to your attention. I'm going to read you some lyrics and then I'm going to tell you the story. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Now here's the story behind that song. The year was 1871. You probably know from history the story about the great Chicago fire. Over 300 people died from that fire, and another 100,000 people were left homeless. And tragedies like this one always bring out some heroes in some people, and one of the heroes of this great Chicago fire was a man named Horatio Spafford. Spafford was an attorney who actually lost a lot of real estate in that fire. And to make matters even worse, his son actually died during the same time period, not from the fire. And in spite of his great personal loss at this moment, it said of Spafford that he selflessly helped others who were homeless and grief-stricken because of the fire. Because of his generosity and service, he was known throughout Chicago as a sincere and a devout Christian. And when about 2 years from that date, in November of 1873, Spafford and his family decided to meet Moody, Reverend Moody, on one of his evangelistic campaigns in England, which would have been a great thing to do. And so they would travel then to Europe to meet him there. However, just before they were about to leave to board a ship headed that way, Horatio himself got delayed. He got detained by urgent business and had nothing else that he could do. He had the concerns there in Chicago. So his decision was to send his wife Anna and their daughters ahead to England, and he would catch up with them as soon as possible. Little known to him, the tragedy was about to strike again. Just off of Newfoundland, the ship collided with an English sailing vessel, and within 20 minutes, the ship went down. Anna Spafford was actually one of the 47 passengers who survived, but tragically, all four of their daughters were part of the 226 people that died on that ship. Anna Spafford's heartbreaking telegram to her husband simply read this: saved alone. Saved alone. That grieving father immediately set sail for England to join his grief-stricken wife. Now just the two of them again. And as the ship that he was traveling on passed the approximate location where his daughters had drowned, Horatio penned the words to "It is well with my soul." We can all stop today and we can say, God, how could you allow something like this? The man who had only 2 years ahead of time been such an instrumental force in helping people through the Chicago fire, even though his son died in the same time frame. This vibrant Christian man, how could you allow such a thing to happen? I guess we don't have an answer to that. But the bigger question that I want to know is, how could he have a peace in his heart to get through this time in his life? That's what I, as a human being, want to know. How is that even earthly possible? And what I will say to us today is, it is not earthly possible. In just a minute, Mark's going to begin singing the words to this song. And as we sing through it, I want you to understand that God can give us that type of peace. And I do not know where life finds you at this moment. Some of you are believers that have been struggling with peace in your life for different reasons. And you've kind of looked for sources of peace, and you've even gotten off track in your source of peace. But today, there may be some in this congregation that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And can I just say to you today, you got to know the God of peace first. He just can't give it to you if the Holy Spirit is not inside of you. That's how it's possible. And for you today, my words of invitation are, come to Jesus first. Come accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Have that simple prayer before God that says, God, I want to accept you, and I want you to wash away the sins in my life, and I want to have this peace through your Holy Spirit, and get that peace with God I was talking about. And then the peace of God will be what rules your life through the Holy Spirit. So today, there it is, the simple fruit of the Spirit called peace.